Good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. John Moraros. I happen to be one of the co-investigators of this particular study. Unfortunately, Dr. Bertie was unable to be here, and that's too bad because he's much better looking than I am and far more intelligent. So for now, you're stuck with me, and I'll try to do my best. So there are many people who collaborated in this effort, a lot of graduate students, a lot of faculty, and a lot of physicians within the city of Las Cruces, New Mexico. And I will tell you a little more about Las Cruces, New Mexico during my presentation. So just quick synopsis of the abstract, pretty much. And as far as the background is concerned, just like Dr. Maureen mentioned earlier, smoking, and especially secondhand smoke, or environmental tobacco smoke as it's otherwise known, is an important modifiable factor as far as the cardiovascular health and respiratory health of many of our people in different countries and populations. Subsequently, it was our thought, a group of very dedicated professionals within the city of Las Cruces, New Mexico, that we needed to argue avidly and vigorously with the local politicians insofar as convincing them to adopt a more comprehensive tobacco ordinance for the city of Las Cruces. The oxymoron is that Doñana County, in which Las Cruces belongs, Las Cruces is about a city of about 90,000 people, has adopted a very comprehensive tobacco ordinance and has implemented it for many years. Unfortunately, the city of Las Cruces, with establishments such as bars and restaurants and pubs, had petitioned successfully, and they had rescinded the ordinance for the city, saying that it would hurt business if they were to adopt a more strict ordinance, smoking ordinance, and they succeeded. So subsequently, it was left to a group of dedicated professionals, as I mentioned before, and community activists to petition and advocate with the city council in order to adopt a more comprehensive law, and I have to say that we have been successful in changing their minds and adopting what we believe will be a very beneficial and very, from a medical perspective, very profitable standard for the city of Las Cruces. So, as we all know, smoking is one of the leading causes of death in the U.S. It kills approximately close to 500,000 people every year, and the numbers have gone up. This is from 2000. And this accounts for about 8% of the U.S. Deaths recorded that specific year. That was in 2000 as well. And as I said before, the detrimental health effects of smoking and secondhand smoke, especially as it pertains to cardiovascular disease and respiratory disease, is well documented in the literature. Therefore, these decades of evidence have proven convincingly that we need to be far more aggressive in our adaptation of legislature that will protect our citizens and residents in cities so that they will not have to be unnecessarily exposed to tobacco, and secondarily that they won't in the long term suffer health side effects as a consequence of such unwitting exposure. Now, the argument has always been from the tobacco industry and pro-tobacco activists that there has been no conclusive evidence to link tobacco exposure to increases in acute myocardial infarctions or heart attacks, or as are they otherwise known, or respiratory disease such as COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, emphysema, or asthma. And subsequently, there were some studies that were done, two here in the United States, that were landmark studies and extremely powerful, I think, and they had a very positive impact that proved otherwise. And one that was done in Italy, Piedmont region of Italy. And basically, the studies are, one was done in Pueblo, Colorado, and the other one was done in Helena, Montana. And they showed that once a comprehensive tobacco ordinance was adopted, heart attack rates and asthma rates decreased significantly, anywhere from high 20s to about 40% rates, and in Italy about 10%. So subsequently, given the fact that all three studies were able to show a significant cardiovascular health benefit and respiratory benefit, many more cities have adopted a more aggressive approach insofar as instituting and implementing smoking ordinances that will be protective of their residents there. And that's what prompted us to actually do our own little study. So clearly, the purpose of the study was to assess the impact and evaluate the effects and potential health benefits of the enactment of a comprehensive smoke-free ordinance in the city of Las Cruces, and that's in Doñana County, New Mexico, on tobacco-related health and respiratory disease rates. And this is a study that Dr. Buckingham, who's sitting in the back, Mr. Vanegas, who is a doctoral student now at the University of Washington, and others, helped us to present to some city legislatures within the city of Las Cruces, and I think it had a lot to do with them adopting a year ago a more comprehensive tobacco ordinance for the city of Las Cruces. So just to speak a little more about the geography, as Dr. Marin did a wonderful job with Puerto Rico, Las Cruces is in the southwest tip of New Mexico. It's very close to the city of El Paso, Texas. It's about 40 miles away and about 40 minutes away from the border with Mexico. Las Cruces, El Paso, and Juarez arguably represent the most highly populated binational metropolitan area, if you wish. Ciudad Juarez, which is in Chihuahua, Mexico, has about 2.5 million people. The city of Las Cruces, Las Cruces, New Mexico, has about, as I said, 90,000 to 100,000 people. And the city of El Paso, Texas, has a population of about 1.5 million people. It's the fourth largest city in the state of Texas, and many people are unaware of that. So it's very relevant. I have to say that El Paso, Texas, has done a far better job than Las Cruces, New Mexico, insofar as being progressive and very liberal in adopting policies that would protect people as far as exposure to smoking is concerned. And we had fallen way behind those measures in New Mexico. But thankfully, it's about 40 minutes. It's about 45 miles from El Paso, Texas. And, you know, it's not particularly far. There are a lot of people who move back and forth. But Texas, as I said before, is always progressive insofar as adopting strict laws are concerned, especially as it pertains to protecting its citizens. And New Mexico, we're coming along. We're coming along. We're almost there. So it was a retrospective cohort study, and we pretty much examined and assessed about 2,500 cases, actually 2,395 to be exact. And these cases included both genders between the ages of 15 and 85 years old. And they had to be residents of the city of Las Cruces, and the other section had to be residents of Doñana County. So we divided the population in county residents, but who were outside of the city limits, and people who were living within the city limits. And the entry criteria for the cases in the study included they had to be diagnosed with acute myocardial infarctions based on the ICD-9 codes, and I've listed all the codes there that were used for our study. Or they had to be diagnosed with asthma, again, on the basis of the ICD, International Chronic Disease Codes, and hip and knee replacement. Now, some of you may wonder, well, why hip and knee replacement? You know, I mean, what that has to do with tobacco use and smoking? Well, we had to find a disease that clearly no one could argue was anywhere close related to be a side effect of smoking, right? And we had to use that as a negative control. So that's why we chose hip and knee replacements. And given the fact that, quite frankly, we have an older population, you know, the snowbirds that come to retire, in the city of Las Cruces, New Mexico, hip and knee replacement, unfortunately, presented itself as a disease that's highly prevalent and something that we can easily measure, and it will give us enough numerical statistical power to be able to do our analysis. So clearly, we received permission from the Institutional Review Board from the University of New Mexico to proceed with a study. And as I said before, we selected secondary inpatient data based on principal discharge diagnosis codes or the International Statistical Classification of Disease, right, ICD. And we received our data from the New Mexico Policy Health Commission. That was extraordinarily helpful in the completion, the successful completion of the study. The information that we specifically concentrated on was age, gender, and zip code of residence, because the zip code actually is what permitted us to distinguish residents of the city of Las Cruces as opposed to residents outside of the city of Las Cruces, but yet within the Doñana County. We tried to maintain patient anonymity and confidentiality, And we were successful in preserving that because we did not request, nor was provided to us, any identifiable characteristics as insofar as the particular patients were concerned. We didn't need to know their names or any other identifying social security numbers or patient numbers or anything of along that line. In order to complete our statistical analysis, we used the SPSS 15, the statistical package for social sciences. And our statistical analysis, just like Dr. Maureen's study, concentrated pretty much on t-test analysis as it pertained to the mean of pre- and post-ordinance incidence rates for acute myocardial infarctions, asthma, and hip and knee injuries in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Now, if you can follow me, we have two figures here. One is for Las Cruces, and it represents the years 2000 to 2005, and its counterpart for the county, with the exception of the city of Las Cruces, between the years 2000 and 2005. What you see here in red is hip and knee replacements, and as you can tell, unfortunately, as I said before, we had an increase which was unrelated to tobacco use. I want to make that clear, in hip and knee replacements, and quite frankly, we attribute that to the fact that we have had an ever-growing population of elderly coming into Las Cruces in order to retire, right? And then, as you can see here, this is acute myocardial infarctions, and this is asthma. This represents the city of Las Cruces, likewise for the Doñana County. We observed a greater decline of acute myocardial infarctions incident rates for the county as opposed to Las Cruces, New Mexico. And this difference we attributed in some respects to the fact that, as I said before, the county was far more progressive in adopting a more comprehensive smoking ordinance as opposed to the city that had a partial one. So the city's partial ordinance permitted people to smoke in bars and discos and restaurants. And subsequently, a large portion of our population, given the fact that we're a college town, you know, we depend on New Mexico State University, which has about 30,000 students. So you can imagine one-third of our population is rather young. They're college-age students that are attending New Mexico State University. And subsequently, that's why the businesses, the bars, the restaurants, the discos, the pubs, made a push to the local legislature to convince them that these are youngsters who do smoke. If we tell them they cannot smoke, it may refrain them from coming to our businesses and subsequently from spending their money. And they had had a stronghold, I have to say. They had brainwashed pretty much the city council to believe that. And subsequently, the city of Las Cruces was very reluctant to adopt a more comprehensive ordinance. Interestingly enough, and it's not part of this study, I have to tell you that Dr. Maureen is an economist. We've had a couple of professors in the Department of Economics and Business in New Mexico State University. And since the adaptation of the comprehensive smoke ordinance, they did do a study to examine whether or not these businesses were affected. And it turns out that to the contrary, actually, the businesses are just booming. They're doing just as well post-ordinance as they were pre-ordinance. Much to the delight, I guess, of the business owners and to the public health officials within the city of Las Cruces. Because that takes away one powerful argument that many times tobacco advocates make against adaptation of such legislature. However, the asthma and the asthma rates both for the city of Las Cruces and the Doñana County were generally constant over the time period of 2000 to 2005. And here we can see a bar graph that gives us comparisons of pre- and post-ordinance incidents. The ones in red are pre-ordinance rates, and the ones in blue are post-ordinance rates. And what we have here is the city of Las Cruces for acute myocardial infarctions. You do see a drop, but it's not statistically significant, quite frankly. And asthma, actually, we did see an increase. Hip and knee, as I said before, was our negative control, so it's not related. What was quite evident, though, was that the acute myocardial infarctions dropped even more for the county, while asthma, once again, seemed to be at a higher rate post-ordinance. That raised a question among the clinicians in our staff, and especially Dr. Buckingham, who happens to be an epidemiologist, and we were wondering why that potentially may be the case. So we consulted with some pneumologists who happen to be physicians who are respiratory specialists, And they stated that over the last 4 or 5 years, since there has been an inflow of more people and businesses in the city of Las Cruces, they have assessed and they have discovered an increase in respiratory problems as a consequence of environmental pollution. So that potentially explains why we have had high rates of asthma, even though the ordinance was passed. But there was, as I said before, a drop in the acute myocardial infarction rates. And here is, for those who are statistically more inclined, here are p-values that show clearly that there was a drop, when you compare the pre-ordinance to the post-ordinance. However, it was not statistically significant for either the acute myocardial infarctions or the asthma incidence rates. So the conclusion. Well, the conclusion is very simply that despite the fact that we did not observe a statistical significance, there was a reduction, and that's quite encouraging. Unfortunately, many a times as scientists and as academicians, we're very much dedicated and hell-bent in proving our point by statistics. And subsequently, if something turns out to be not statistically significant, we figure that it's not important. I have to tell you, even if you save one life, tobacco use is an extraordinary problem that globally. And even if you save one life, it may not make a statistical impact, but it's difficult to convince the family members and the loved ones of that person who has been saved that they're not important. Currently, only 12 states have comprehensive non-smoking ordinances in the U.S., and I have to tell you that I'm very pleased to announce New Mexico, thanks to Governor Richardson, has been one of those states. Although over half of the total U.S. population is covered by at least a partial non-smoking ordinance. And the resistance comes from business owners, as I mentioned before. Whether we want to admit it or not, we're a capitalist country. We're driven by commercialism. Unfortunately, our economy is not doing particularly well right now. But be that as it may, the bottom line is the almighty dollar. It's very difficult to convince people that you're going to lose some money right now, but long term, our economy is going to benefit because we're going to have fewer patients dying and fewer patients being in long term care because of tobacco related health disease problems. We are more concentrating on the here and now rather than long term. Our study showed a similar reduction in acute myocardial incidence rates in both Tonian County following the adaptation of the Comprehensive Non-Smoking Ordinance in 2002. And furthermore, the presence of the partial smoking ban in Las Cruces, New Mexico, may not have had a significant impact on acute myocardial infarction rates. Clearly, future studies need to be conducted, and they need to examine the acute myocardial infarction incidence to determine the long-term impact of the adaptation of this new law. So, in conclusion, actually, I would like to thank all the participating members of the research group. And in addition to that, I would like to pay a particularly special tribute to Dr. Richard Dick Melcher, who unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago while we were conducting this study. He was a cardiologist in the city of Las Cruces and the president of the Medical Association for Physicians in the city of Las Cruces. And a strong advocate and pioneer insofar as dedicating himself and making a commitment to adopting legislature that will prove to be beneficial for many generations to come of residents in the city of Las Cruces. And in his loving memory, I would like to dedicate this presentation to him. Thank you so much.
Thank you.